Chapter 2. Fistula, first Blight Lord of the Black Thumb, delighter in sickness and death, opened the auroch from hip to hip with a soaring reverse of his blade. A surprised snort issued from the greenskin's tusked helmet, but the fighter remained upright, tough as necrotic flesh and just as dead to pain. Holding its squirming guts in a fist, the size of a buckler, it swung its axe at the Blight Lord with a roar. Hard-wearing, vicious, aurochs were infamous, but the fever spreading fire through its veins from the infected belly wound made it sluggish. Fistula sidestepped the clumsy slash with ease, then broke its shin with a heel jab. It was sweating. Most men would never know that an aurochs could suffer the way this one now did, but still it would not yield. Fistula appreciated that. Dashing aside its weakening backslash on the flat of his sword, he stepped in behind its flailing trunk of an arm, close enough to smell the demon plaguelings rampaging through its veins, then plunged his parrying dagger through its throat. The auroch's mammoth jaws snapped spasmodically as Fistula tore his dagger loose and kicked the brute away. Blood from the torn artery sprayed in a rising arc and painted the open face of Fistula's helm green. He gasped, partly to drink the wetness from the air, partly for the raw pleasure of doing so. Fistula looked down on the beaten auroch. It was still snapping its jaws, even as it drowned in its fluids, and its eyes turned white. Fistula could have ended it quickly, should have, perhaps, but endemic as the aurochs were in the shadow of the Rabid Heights, there were never enough to last. He looked up. The aurochs were still fighting in scattered mobs spread out along the length of the narrow gulch into which the Black Thumb had pursued them, but they were broken. Not in the manner of a human or rotbringer host. They did not run. Rather, they held on with the witless tenacity of sick beasts. Hardy as they were as a race, all bore the stigmata of infection, weeping sores and crusted cuts that would not heal. For every 100 that lay dead with an obvious wound, 100 more twitched on the ground with blood foam in their mouths and flies on their rotting flesh. Gores and bestigores plunged headlong into the fray, hacking and goring with frenzied abandon. Rotbringer knights on maggot-riddled steeds galloped up the steeply climbing wall of the gulch to strike at the auroch war-leader. The huge beast was surrounded by his biggest and most brutal, but was already heavily beset by the Zinchian war-host, driving in from the opposite side of the ravine. The changeling host was a cacophonous legion of colours and shapes. Gold glittered, strange voices whispered, flames of every caste, smell and texture danced along the crossbars of banner poles, and suits of almost sentient armour whispered secrets to the deepest subconscious of all nearby with a mind to hear. Demon flies buzzed over everything and everyone. Blighthounds ran along the flanks, pulling down the isolated and the maimed. Giant slugs burrowed up from under the hardpan to swallow Zinchian warriors whole, while plague drones and sleek demonic screamers swept at each other in pitched battle for the skies. The aurochs had become almost incidental. Fistula read the kindred mood in his opposite number, the hunger coming from somewhere out there in the gulch. They had both come to torment prey. But now, starved of a true challenge, they threw their warriors at the other with greater ferocity than they had ever before. It was something that Copsis Buell had become too fat and old to realize. Even the most rapacious of plagues could be tamed, lingering only on the scraps left by those they had once devastated in their millions. A stamp of hellsteel and an ebullient cry called Fistula back from the abstract of the battle. Through a congested melee of putrid Blight Kings and sickening auroch fighters, half again their size, a chaos warrior encased in full plate armour of azure and gold barged towards him. His helm was solid metal, with only the etching of half-lidded eyes, through which some enchantment perhaps permitted him to see. From the sides, golden horns spiralled inwards towards infinity. The Zinchian knuckled aside an auroch and roared the final strides with his broadsword swept high overhead. With a shout, Fistula pivoted on the spot and smacked his sawtooth blade hard into the larger blade's descent. It was not a parry, He struck the Zinchian's broadsword as though meaning to do it harm. The impact arced up his arm. He felt it vibrate in his teeth. Reflex action shocked his fingers open and would have lost him his blade if not for the blood and pus that pooled endlessly into his grip from infected calluses and glued palm to hilt. The Zinchian reeled as though it had been struck on the head by a blow that had left its helmet ringing. Its heavy sword trailed, elbows locked in spasm with the aftershock of keeping a hold on his blade. Fistula struck off the warrior's head with a single blow to the neck and laughed. He was the opposite of Copsis Buell in most ways. Where the Lord of Plagues had become a bloated wreck of a man, Fistula's body was wasted, the favour in which he was held written in lesions on paired bone and in the ropey musculature that seeped and seeped without end. He was a warrior. A fever raged in his mind that no level of war could ever purge, and his armour, lighter by preference, was etched with tallies of the blights he had tasted and the civilizations he had brought low.
"Secure the dead!"
bellowed a cadaverous, jaundiced Blight King, wearing a cruel harness of scythe-edged plates and hanging mail. He lay into the aurochs with a pair of matching knives, bloodily proficient in his preferred mode of killing. Fistula was one of the few to know him as Svitain. To most, he was Leech. The Blight King turned and waved a come-now gesture.
"Bring up the wagons! If we're not back by High Moon, it will go poorly for you!"
Rattling in under a fug of disease came a dozen wagons. Each was drawn by a team of six wheezing horses, their loose wheels the size of a man, their high sides scratched with the knife marks of individual warriors, and with a splintered parapet of aged wood. Leprous harvesters in hoods and swaddling leaned over the parapet with hooks to draw up the dead. The drovers called a halt. The horses snuffled in their traces, hacking, puking, biting at each other's flea-ravaged coats. Fighting his way to Fistula's side, Vitain looked down on the auroch still dying at his lord's feet. The leathery tissue was continuing to shrivel away, the liquidized remainder sinking around the bones.
"He will be unhappy. This one is worthless."
Fistula sneered. Vitain was old enough to have fought with Copsis Buell from the beginning, lacking enough in ambition or favour to prevent his star being eclipsed by the man he now followed into battle.
"I'm not here to scavenge, and I'm not here for Buell," Fistula said.
They could not all dine off glories past. Fistula scanned the confusion for the Zinchian champion. Warriors of every stripe filled the gulch from wall to wall with a riot of colour and noise. Even the sky reflected the vivid clash. The bubonic haze that blanketed Buell's domain turned a sickly turquoise by the rolling cumulus of Zinchian fire that followed the war horde from the north. Twisted trees, covered in naked saws and weeping black foliage, clung to the ridgeline. They swayed under the opposing winds. Fistula shivered, though he could not say why. His eyes narrowed. There was something there, hidden under the drooping canopy. Fistula glimpsed a figure, or the suggestion of one. More a feeling than something he could later describe and claim with certainty had been real. He perceived a sense of robes, of a gaunt, skeletal height. But his overriding impression was one of watchfulness, of many, many sets of eyes trained upon every aspect of this moment in time. In a blink of the mind, it was gone. The inkling of its prior being was a subliminal glamour that nevertheless refused to fully fade, as though he had gazed overlong upon a demon and imprinted its corona of power onto his mind. He shook his head, and with the blessed release of a peeled scab pulled off his helmet and wiped the auroch's gore from his hairless scalp. The sense of watchfulness remained on him, a nagging question at the back of his mind. He felt judgment, though for what, Fistula doubted he had the faculties to comprehend. Nor did he care. He bared his teeth in anticipation and raised his sword to signal the charge. His own glorification was all that mattered. Let it watch. Let it judge.